Well, in preparation for this morning's devotion, I'll be reading Psalm 132, and I had prepared for that during the week and then went to the Honor Israel night, and I think it was Rob Gottslig who had shared a couple of verses from that, the main verses being verses 13 and 14, so it kind of was a nice confirmation. But in thinking of this devotion, I was thinking the word or the name Zion is used, and that is thrown around in our world as Zion and Zionists has become disturbingly confused by the general public and even many who claim the name of Christ as being some sort of derogatory term or something that is a negative thing. But this is largely, I think, due to biblical illiteracy, maybe on the surface, and certainly a hatred for God at the core of some. For the name Zion is simply another name for Jerusalem. It derives or describes Mount Moriah, that very mountain where Abraham was called to offer a sacrifice and God provided, and then God would provide again in foretelling of this one sacrifice to end all sacrifices, his very own son, righteous, holy Lord Jesus, on that mountain. Zion was chosen by God. It was desired by God, as we'll read in this psalm, and it belongs to God. To be a Zionist in its truest sense means to love the dwelling place God had selected here on earth. For I know with absolute confidence, and I believe what the Bible says when it talks about the Messiah will rule upon this earth for 1,000 years, and that being Jesus. But until that day, God has decreed and has given that land for Israel, the united Israel and Judah, to steward the land. And although largely in unbelief now, we know that there is a day in which they will have their eyes opened, and they will declare in faith, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And what a glorious day that would be and will be. Psalm 132 is a psalm which declares the promises of God, promises that were given to King David, promises of Zion being the place that the Messiah will rule and reign from. So if you want to turn to Psalm 132, I will be simply reading it, and then a couple verses from Isaiah. Psalm 132 reads, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. That was the heart of David. He was living luxury and why was he living this way and so lavishly when there was no house of God, a place to worship and sacrifice to the Lord God, give him honor and praise. And that was his concern. That was his heart. He continues, Lo, we hear of it in Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. So now it's not about mine, as David was reading. It's about his, God's. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and thy ark and thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thy anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. So there is going to be a lineage here. It would be partially fulfilled, of course, through Solomon and the sons that would come out. But ultimately, this is pointing to the Messiah. This is speaking of Jesus. If thy children will keep my covenants and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. Verse 13, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever, not temporary, forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon him shall his crown flourish. Now the prophet Isaiah would further add to this time in which Israel is restored, Zion is restored, and its people will be restored. And in fact, there is a blessing to come upon not just Jerusalem, not just Israel, but upon all nations, upon the Gentiles of that day. And we read of that in Isaiah chapter 62. And you can read the entire chapter on your own. It's not very long, only 12 verses. But I will read the first two and the last two of this chapter, speaking of the Gentiles being blessed by the Lord's reign in Zion. Verse 1 says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." And then if you skip down to verse 11 and 12, "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken." God has not forsaken Israel. He has not forsaken Jerusalem. He has not forsaken the inhabitants there. Just as God promised to Jacob in Bethel that he would not forsake him. And he further reaffirms that to believers under the New Testament in Hebrews 13, verse 5, where he says that he would never leave you nor forsake you. And so may we continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Zion. For when God brings peace, not peace by man's means, but peace through the Lord Jesus, then the world will actually, for once, enjoy peace as well. But until that day, may we do the work of our Lord and honor him with our lives.